Hi, my name is Kim. You're listening to Historia. Hey guys, I got a big announcement for you. Moving forward, I will be changing my schedule, usual schedule, Saturday release to Tuesday in attempt to reach more listeners. So initial tentative time would be at 9 p.m. GMT plus 8, so I hope you understand. Also, if you're new to my podcast, please don't forget to check out my website at historiapodcast.com. you can also check my social media accounts at Historia Podcast on Instagram and Twitter, and Historia Pod on Facebook. So there we go. Let's get on it. Good evening. Good evening. Thank you again for tuning in to Historia Podcast. And tonight we have Mr. Bo Maldez.
Right, wow. Bo. Hello. Hi. How are you? All good. All good. Thank you so much.
Wow. That's good to hear. So what have you been doing lately? What keeps you busy?
Since I work as a freelance copier, client work, writing, ganon, meeting people online. Since, you know, we're still in the COVID-19 season, you can't really go out. So usually socializing is left in social media.
Yeah.
And most of I'm really just stuck at home, doing stuff at home, work, writing, and communicating with friends and teammates online.
Yes, that's great. You know, most of us are working from home now, even I.
Yes.
Almost all, I think all of my activities are here at home, doing, teaching other people, especially in other countries. So I have to use the computer most of my time. So it's pretty much the setting now. Work from home is the future.
Yeah, that is true.
Fantastic. So can you please tell us who you are? Like, can you give us a background of yourself? Can you picture us? What do you do and who you are, Mr. Bo?
Well, I am a freelance digital marketing specialist. Basically, I specialize on copywriting, content marketing, and social media. More on the writing side. So, like, if I have clients, they need help with creating articles, blog posts, sales letters, emails, social media copy. So more on the writing side, you know. So that's what I do. Basically, the work that I do helps businesses get more sales, sometimes leads for their business. So that's what I do.
Wow, that's great. And almost all of your work is about writing.
It's a
huge part of your life.
So very huge part. Yeah.
And since you mentioned that you are into copywriting industry, can you tell us what is copywriting? What's your definition of copywriting?
Actually, when we talk about copywriting, the way I do it, practically, you're writing to sell. But it can actually extend to you writing to persuade people. So, for example, I write something for a client. It should have an end goal in mind. So, whatever the goal of the client may be, it's to get more leads or people in their email list, or to get more sales, or to get people to click on the link or something like that. You use copywriting for that. It's not just information, it's a way to convince people. So aside from copywriting is writing to sell, copywriting is persuasion in print. I do have some training when it comes to hypnosis. And actually, when you look at every ad out there, every ad, every marketing practice is rooted in the formula of hypnosis. So we can say that copywriting is also hypnosis in print. So when people read what a copywriter writes, they are in a way hypnotized so that they actually do what the copywriter wants them to do. So for me, three things. It's selling in print. It's also persuasion in print. And it's also hypnosis in print. So that is how I would define copywriting.
And also, I think I would add to that is also providing value in print, right?
Yeah, in a way. It actually depends. When you say providing value in print, yeah, sure, you're providing value. The way I see it, it's more that you're actually leading your readers to value. Like, you know, we have that Tagalog word, patikim. You just let them have a taste of what they're supposed to have. And then when they read it and when they actually take in that offer, they're actually getting the full value. Yes, you're giving value, but it's more of a taste of the value that they can get out of that.
I love that. It's a taster. It's like a sample, like a sampler.
Yes.
Oh, I love that. Now, here's a very big question for me. Is copywriting learned in school? Because based on my observation, maybe I'm not just listening, but I haven't heard copywriting in school, in my school. I've learned about article writing. That's my background is with journalism, with communications too. So we learned about editorials, news writing, article writing, advertisements. But I am not sure if I heard the term copywriting. Learned in school?
Well, honestly, based on my experience, I don't think it is learned in school. I actually first heard the term copywriting when I was starting out as a freelancer back in 2017. And for me, my experience in copywriting is I learned it by myself. I did not have any formal education. Like I did not go to school. I did not actually get to study it inside of a classroom. I did not get to have a teacher within the four walls and classmates like a conventional school. I learned it by myself. And here's the thing. Copywriting, I mean, it's just, I guess, one sort of aspect when it comes to persuasion. And the thing is, nobody learns persuasion in school. You go to school, you learn about the three R's: reading, writing, arithmetic. Those three things. But persuasion, copywriting, writing so that people will be convinced, you learn it by yourself. And yeah, sure, maybe that's something you learn when you try to go into the field of marketing. Maybe even in psychology, because copywriting is also rooted in psychology. You have to understand behavior biases. You have to understand human behavior. Yes. You have to understand consumer psychology, consumer behavior, the right copy. Because you have to touch on those triggers so that you can convince the people that you're reading. The people who are going to read what you're going to write. And also, based on my experience, the way that I learned copywriting is that I learned it through experience, trial and error. I had to work for clients. I had to write stuff. I had to make mistakes and then learn from those mistakes. I had to actually get people to buy from my writing. The way I see it, you cannot be called a bona fide or like a complete copywriter if you haven't actually sold anything through your writing. So yeah, sure, you can learn the principles. Basically, copywriting is understanding persuasion. is understanding human nature, is understanding human behavior, is understanding selling. That those are components of copywriting. You have to understand those. But beyond understanding those, you have to write. And you have to get that writing out. And when you get that writing out, that writing should have an effect on your readers. And the effect would either be to, you know, get them to follow what you want or sell something. So in that respect, that is something that you never learn in a conventional school. I don't know. I mean, not even in university. Maybe if there's like a course in university that teaches you how to do business. But when it comes to persuasion, the way I see it, the way I experience it, you don't learn it from school. You learn it through experience. You learn it through, how do you say, through constant practice. And you learn it through getting results. If I might say, my journey into copywriting started in 2017. And it started by me actually going through free online courses on how to write persuasively. And then I guess on my part, since I didn't have anything, I virtually had nothing in terms of financial resources. It's a good thing I have a good internet connection. I can actually download some stuff online. So if you're doing torrent and stuff, you can actually download online courses on copywriting. So I download a lot of those. I got through reading, understanding, studying them. And when I actually got paid for some of the gigs, I bought online courses. And when I bought online courses, I realized that I would have to, of course, have the material, have the concepts in it. It should also have a community where the community will also help you learn. And you should also have a mentor that will actually help you learn and give you feedback. So I got those and I got mentorship as well. Having a mentor elevated the level of my copywriting, and it helped me become a better and more effective copywriter. So yeah, a mentor might be a little bit formalized, but it's not the same as going to a university or going to school to teach and learn copywriting. No, copywriting practically is very, very, how do I say it? You have to learn it. You have to learn it on your own. You have to take, you know, your only test is not like a graded 4.0 or
yeah, multiple choice.
Yeah, you don't have that. Your grade is the results that you create. So if you have results, it works. And the thing about copywriting is you never stop learning. Even my mentor right now, my primary mentor when it comes to copywriting is Miguel Campaner. Miguel Campaner is the copywriter who helped Lish Aquino. He did some work for John Oranya, Bo Sanchez, I guess John Pagulayan, Alan Ngo, and a whole lot more people. So even right now, even if he actually helps his client get 6-7 figures in US dollars when it comes to sales and revenue, he's still learning. He is constantly learning. You will never get bored with copywriting because there's so much to learn. There's so much to refine. There's a lot of things that you can break ground. But the beauty is you can become proficient in a matter of months. When I started learning copywriter, it took me about a month to 3 months to actually get proficient at it. So shorter learn scale, but you can actually help yourself become better in a shorter span of time.
Wow.
And the beauty of copywriting is it intersects, or at the very core of copywriting is persuasion. So as long as I understand how persuasion works, I can actually use that in every other part of my life. Right. Here's the thing. I actually studied hypnosis way before I started copywriting. And then I actually saw some similarities between hypnosis and copywriting. For example, hypnosis, it has a formula that makes it possible. It's called ABS. ABS stands for A for attention. You get attention of your listener or your audience. B stands for bypassing the critical factor, because you know people question, people can become skeptics. So as a hypnotist, you would have to bypass the critical factor so that you can do S, or to stimulate an action. So it's pretty much the same with copywriting. For copywriting, you have to capture their attention, you have to get their interest, you have to build up their desire, and you have to take them, make them have an action. So it's something that works together. And, you know, people right now with the advent of social media, it's so easy to post things online.
But not everything
online can be that convincing. So if you have the skills of a copywriter, it will be easier for you to convince people.
Correct. You know, they say this copywriting, you know, selling anything without opening your mouth, because all you do is writing. Now,
yeah, in a way, yes, that's true.
You know, you're not opening your mouth, because you're most of your time will be spent in writing. Now, let me share you my story about how I heard about copywriting in general. Mm-hmm. One day, when I was working in a call center, I came across with a Facebook content. I was scrolling mindlessly, and all of a sudden, I found Mr. Dan Locke. Now, Mr. Dan Locke, he's a very controversial guy. Like, a lot of people would say that he's a scam because his courses are BS or whatever. But that's how I learned about copywriting course. Like, never have I heard before that term copywriting if I haven't found that piece of content. You know? So it's it opened my mind to a lot more possibilities, and you know, I also decided to try writing. Go back to my writing in general. I tried. Actually, it's not copywriting, but I tried a different one, which is my forte, a little bit of my forte, which is feature writing. Mm-hmm. And I finally got one article published in the internet. So
nice.
Yeah. But one is better than zero. Yeah, at least got one. But copywriting, nah. I have a course. I've studied a course about it a little bit from Udemy, online website. Udemy. Are you familiar with that website?
Oh yeah. Udemy. I've actually downloaded some course off of that. Yeah.
That's nice. Because actually, at that time, I was still working as with my boss as a VA, as an assistant. And he actually shared me a course about copyright. So tons of stuff, especially the power words, discover, just one word, discover the power words that will convince the reader to, you know, that would entice the curiosity of the reader. Like, they are called power words. So yeah, that's how I learned about copywriting. Now, I think you also mentioned about you know, how copywriting helped you in many aspects of your life. Are there any more things that you'd like to share about your successes, about your failures in this kind of career?
Okay. I'm just gonna tell you my story, how I came to be a freelancer. Prior to becoming a freelance copywriter, I was actually working in an office-based ESL company. I was actually teaching. Actually, I was part of the marketing team of that ESL company. What we did was we gave free lessons to zero-level Chinese students who wanted to learn English. So we'd give them a free lesson. We'd teach them something, and then we'd say that, hey, this is your level, you can learn more, but you have to enroll to our school. So basically it's a teaching / sales job. But during that time working in that ESL company, we were really not very content because the management wasn't really good. The management was screwing up with us. And the sad thing was the management was Filipino. So out of frustration, on one day, what I did was to send a message to a student. We were using this software platform called QQ. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
QQ.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So
are we in the same company before?
I'd rather not mention the company. I don't know if the company is still here.
Sorry. Let's not mention
it. Okay. Let's not mention it. I don't know if it's still up, but it was a disappointment. They ended their work, I guess, last 2019 or early 2020, so somewhere along that time, just this year. So in QQ, a lot of Chinese students, they would have this feature where you have to write in a password, right? Like, oh, you have to type in a password before you actually get to connect to the student. So I was really angry and pissed off with the company that I used the words FU to type in the password thing, the phrase FU, yeah. But through one mistake of my own, what I did was I actually sent it on the message field. So I sent the phrase FU to the to a student, and then within a week I was actually let go. They didn't fire me per se, but they told me that I have to resign because if they fire me, I would be having a higher severance pay. So that's what happened. I'm gonna be honest, it's not what I wanted to do to get out, but it made me realize that I don't ever want to work for a company. I don't ever want to work for a corporate setting where, you know, you do all the work. You work, we usually work from about 4 in the afternoon until 12 midnight. So that's the work that I did for them. And then very short. I like the work, but then you realize that, oh, I don't want to do this for the rest of my life. So yes. I was forced to resign. And then when I resigned, I tried my hand learning copywriting. I tried my hand learning freelancing. And then there were actually months where I did not have a client. My first client was this lady. Who gave me 500 Australian dollars to write 10 articles with 5,000 words each because I didn't have much time. You know what I did? I actually plagiarized some of the stuff, but the client said that if I find out that your stuff is plagiarized, I'm going to get the refund. Okay, so she found out I had to do the refund because if not, I know, you know, you're going to have a bad reputation. So I really favored the reputation. So I gave back the money. So that's one big lesson for me, not to plagiarize, but to, you know, be conscientious when it comes to writing. I got a client from the US where what we did was they actually created this device where you can plant cannabis seeds in a device, and then you just leave it behind. So there was a time where I was researching about cannabis. I had to know the difference. I had to know the difference between sativa and indica and everything else in between, THC, CBD, and all that. And then I got to work for a digital marketing company. And then I think in 2018, I got to be part of Social Media Academy. Social Media Academy is an online learning group where we teach freelancers, entrepreneurs, and home-based workers how to use social media. So I become part of that group. I still am part of that group. And we're lying a bit low because, you know, our founders and the people who are my coworkers, they are building up their own names in the industry.
Personal
brand.
So,
yeah, the personal branding. And also in 2018, I also joined this freelance learning group where we are taught how to get the best clients for ourselves. It's called the Freelance Movement Tribe. This was founded by John Pagulayan. So for your listeners who are wanting to actually become better freelancers, getting the right client for their freelancing business and knowing where to start, you can start with the Freelance Movement Tribe. They actually have like a program within where you can learn skills. It's actually called Skills with a Z. And you can learn skills like, I guess there's a lesson on copywriting. There's also a lesson when it comes to other things like SEO, building a WordPress website, stuff like that. So, yeah, I got into that. And right now I'm focusing on doing client work for various clients. Another thing that I'm also doing right now is I'm actually finishing a novel, and I'm actually hoping that it gets launched. It should have been this year, 2020, December, but I found out that I have a lot of gaps that must be filled in a lot of ways.
Yes.
So, I had to extend the work for that. And yeah, I guess one success that I can say when it comes to freelancing is this. People go into freelancing not just to earn a lot of, you know, money, because, you know, freelancers, they can actually earn as much as $1,000, $2,000, $5,000 USD per project. And a project could run up from a month to 3 months. So for me, I guess one of the best successes when it comes to freelancing is freedom. Freedom of time,
correct,
location, and finances. I mean, I don't have to worry about money. I don't have to worry where I have to work as long as I have a decent internet connection. I can work anytime. So I did give you a schedule like, okay, I have to work during this day, but if I don't feel like it, I don't work. I can go rest. I can watch a movie.
Right.
I can go out and walk or stuff. As long as I actually can give out my deliverables or the things that were assigned for me to do and accomplish it on a deadline.
Correct.
So that makes it easier for me.
Oh, that's good. Like, that's one thing I like about being a freelancer is that you're very flexible. You can work anywhere. You can work anytime you want, as long as there is an internet connection available. Just you are in control. Like you can just do whatever you want and work whatever
precisely,
you want.
Precisely.
Right. And freelancing is also a business in a way for me. And the products that you market, that you sell, are your skills. So That's one thing that I also learned about freelancing world.
That's true.
Now, is there a title or what's the title of your upcoming novel? And can you tell us a bit about it? Like, what should we expect about your upcoming novel?
Oh yeah, this novel is called Copywriting in the Art of War. Basically, I had a talk back in 2018 with a guy named Jerick Timbang. What Jerick Timbang did was he helps freelancers or business people get more authority by helping them write books. So he invited me on a talk like, hey, Bo, he told me, you can get better clients if you actually have written a book. Because if you've written a book, it makes you an expert. Mm-hmm. So, okay, maybe I can write a book about copywriting. So we talked. He said that within 30 minutes, but we extended for an hour. And with an hour, we actually found out, my idea of how copywriting is. So we created an outline, a book outline or a table of contents of my book that focused on copywriting and the art of war. So that was in 2018. And then I thanked him. Thanks, man. This can help me write. Maybe I can write a nonfiction book about this. And then during, I think, late 2018 to early 2019, I decided that, hey, I really wanted to get into this freelancing thing because as a freelancer, I have the freedom of time, location, and money so that I can become a writer, specifically a novelist. So I realized that, hey, why not actually use that outline and then turn that into a novel? And during that time from November 2018 until right now, it's me finding the story fitting in that idea of copywriting and the art of war. I had to learn how to write a novel. I had to go through books. Novel writing for me is just like copywriting. I did not actually go to school for this. I read books and then I practiced. I got people to read some of my stuff. So during the course of that time, I realized that I had to do this. And also there was this one time where John Pagulayan gave me a coaching call. Because when I enrolled in the freelance movement tribe, and I'll never forget this, I was like one of the first people in my batch to enroll. So one of the privileges was actually getting like an hour or so of a coaching call with John himself. And then one really important thing that I learned in that coaching call was, choose clarity over certainty. Because the thing about certainty is there is really no certainty in this world. We live in very uncertain times. I mean, like right now, we're in the midst of a pandemic. We have problems. Just recently we had this strong typhoon storms.
Yeah, multiple times.
Multiple times. So that's uncertainty. Uncertainty is all around. But if you have a clarity, to know what you want in your life, it's going to be easier for you to focus on what needs to be done. So from that, I got the idea that writing these things is, and becoming a writer, becoming a novelist, I would need to have a clarity of purpose, a clarity of direction, and a clarity of action in everything I do. So the work that I did with Jerick Timbang to create that topic outline or table of contents and the clarity that John said to me actually spurred me on to create that novel. So if you're gonna read that novel, it's actually going to be semi-autobiographical. So it's basically the story of my life. I just sort of changed my name and the name of the people there. It's like my experience as a copywriter turned into a story. Wow. So it's basically teaching people how copywriting works. Sorry about that. That's the alarm. Teaching people how to do copywriting through story. And I don't think it's been done before. So that's what I'm working on.
Wow, that's great. Just one more thing about writing books is that it's now easier. I think it's now easier to make a book because you can now self-publish it rather than before, where you had to go to a publishing house, you know, find somebody who would publish it for you. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, we have this Amazon, we have this opportunity. A lot of great things happening. You can now self-publish, which is fantastic. You know, I've never heard of self-published before until just recently. So it's super awesome opportunity. Right. So anyone can, you know, anyone with a skill can write a book. So that's really good. Now,
agreed.
Can you name or who inspired you to be a novelist? Like, can you name your top three novelists? Like the top three people who influenced you to do the writing?
Okay. For me, there's one novelist that comes to mind for now. I can't think of two others, but what comes to mind is Stephen Pressfield. Stephen Pressfield wrote the book Gates of Fire. He also wrote the book Do the Work and The War of Art. I like Stephen Pressfield's writing because it actually reaffirms a person's belief, strength, I guess in a way masculinity. he wrote Gates of Fire, which is actually about the Spartan war with the Persians, you know, the 300. It's the better version of 300, like you know, the movie 300 based on that graphic novel, but this is so much better. He also wrote War of Art and Do the Work. So this is a writer that has influenced me a lot. I would say another writer that influenced me a lot is Sun Tzu. He's not a novelist, but he did write The Art of War. So it's something that actually spurred me on with writing this novel that I'm writing right now.
Yeah, I can definitely tell from the title of your book, Copywriting and the Art
of War. And the Art of War, yeah.
Yeah, The Principles of War, written by him. I think that was a very, very long time ago, and still, you know, it adapts into this.
Oh, book. Yeah. I'm gonna add a couple more authors that, you know, people should read, and these people have actually influenced the writing that I have. For example, Robert Greene. Robert Greene is the author of The 48 Laws of Power, The Art of Seduction, The 33 Strategies of War, The 50th Law, Mastery, and The Laws of Human Nature. Every book that he has written, it's a must read. Ryan Holiday. Ryan Holiday also wrote... Ryan Holiday was an assistant of Robert Greene. He wrote The Obstacle is the Way, Ego is the Enemy, Stillness is the Key. And Tim Ferriss, so every freelancer should be reading Tim Ferriss, the 4-Hour series. I think the only book in the 4-Hour series that I haven't read is The 4-Hour Body. But if you want to learn concepts, high level concepts when it comes to business and freelancing, the 4-hour work week is the book for you. And if you want to learn how to learn quickly, he has this meta learning model called from the book The 4-Hour Chef. So it's a framework that I've learned to use if I'm going to learn how to become better in whatever skills that I have. Lots of books, lots of things I can actually mention here. Yeah. Because when I was becoming a copywriter, I had to go through all the, you have to learn, you have to read a lot. Correct. Yeah.
You have to consume a lot of books before you can actually write them. Like, you really have to observe how books work. Like, how do they paint pictures? How do they describe each and every person? How do they tell the story without actually doing the words on what they do? It's very detailed. There's a lot of detail in it, and also the imagination that comes from it when you read the novel, when you read the book. Actually, when I was in high school, I read a lot of books of Dan Brown. He's a very popular one, and most of his books are adapted into films. If you're familiar with the Angels and Demons, Da Vinci Code, Lost Symbol, Inferno.
Of course, yeah.
I read almost all of his books. 4 out of 6 books. Yeah. 4 out of 6 books. So it was really good. And I think most of those scenarios just happened in one day. Like, can you believe that? All of these scenes just happened in one day, and he even put it in just one book. So it's very hard to do that, right? And the fact that he also researched a lot of things, I can see the research, the detail of it. So if you're going to be a novelist, you really have to be a researcher. Yeah. So that's one thing I also learned. If you're going on this path, if you're going to be a novelist. Yeah. Now, Mr. Bo, to whom do you dedicate your novel? Like, when you go on your front page, I noticed this, in the front page of your book, there are some people that the author would like to thank, like for your wife, for your children, or whatever. So, to whom do you dedicate your upcoming novel? Oh,
I think for me, growing up in an evangelical Christian household, I'd have to dedicate it first to the Lord. Yes. You have your faith, and you dedicate it to the people who have helped you along the way. You know, your comrades, your mentors, your colleagues, your clients, the people all around you have helped you become you. I guess I could also dedicate it to the people that I will be mentioning in the book, and everything. I mean, I have to thank them. You have to acknowledge them. Right. That whatever happened in my life, whether good or bad, a lot of people have helped me in this journey. And of course, I would have to dedicate family, because this book is, in a way, semi-autobiographical. In a way, family is also mentioned here. So, in this novel, you know, one of the things that I want people to see in this novel, I mean, not just to learn copywriting, not just to learn something that will help people persuade, or not just to enjoy, but it's also to make us realize that even in this time of disconnection, we have within us the power to connect to people, the power to make things whole, not just by persuading people, but also to connect people. I mean, one of the things that I know that I do as a copywriter is for me to help my clients connect to their audience. It's not just selling an offer, selling a product, a service, or what have you. It's me bridging the gap so that the client can actually reach out to whatever their audience needs and then give that to them. So I guess maybe that's another way to define copywriting for myself. I mean, especially it's copywriting is bridging, is a tool that bridges the gaps so that the client can connect to their audience. So that is also something that I want to state in my book.
Wow. Yeah. And it's also thanks to the internet, right?
True.
Like, we are able to connect with each other, like, out of nowhere. You and me, right? We are able to connect here. And
yeah. So. Here's the thing about the internet. It's nice that people are actually connected with people through very large distances. I mean, right now I'm in Baguio City. You're probably in the Metro Manila area, so it's a huge distance, and you know I can actually get to talk to clients from the U.S., from the U.K., from Australia, with the internet. But one thing that bothers me as a person using the internet is sometimes it ironically disconnects people. You know, like, yeah,
true,
you can post stuff like, oh, you have relevance because you posted stuff in the internet. You have likes, you have engagement, you have comments and stuff, and you think that you have connected to people. But sometimes because of differing points of view, like religion, politics, it actually stops people. It actually disconnects people. It actually brings people to whatever bubbles that they're living in, especially in social media. Right now in social media, it's so easy to block someone because they have a different point of view from yours, right? So for example, right, you have a different political view. You know someone who has a different political view, and then they would say that, hey, for your peace of mind, you can block or unfriend that person. So instead of actually having a good conversation, instead of actually celebrating differences, it actually brings us apart. And that is something that I want to talk about in the novels, because like we have very different opinions, we have dissenting opinions, right, that we do not get to talk, and we live in our own bubbles, we live in our own echo chambers, to use the term, that when we write something in social media throws us back with the same kind of thing. So if you're like, say for example, in the United States, right? Election is just over, and Trump is actually trying to justify that Biden's team cheated, right? So for people who support Trump and then try to follow Trump and try to think that Trump is the winner, then they would only see information that supports their points of views. Right. So that brings people apart. So I know this might be an advice that is unsolicited, but if you are in social media, I know you are, you have Facebook, you probably have your Instagram or LinkedIn. Please do not let go of people with different opinions than yours. You should invite them. You should, at the very least, do not block them. At the very least, look at what they're writing. At the very least, have some way to find out that, you know, they're different, and then try to understand whatever their difference is. Because when you get stuck with simply one point of view, you're going to think that your point of view is the right point of view. So I don't let out my political views because, you know, I actually see myself as apolitical. I never voted, but I have friends on all sides of the spectrum. I have friends who are supporters of the government, and I have friends who have dissenting opinions with the government. But I understand that having both these friends gives me a broader spectrum of ideas to think about. And that is something that I hope I can help, you know. You get to open up a conversation. You get to talk about people. And yeah, that is something that I hope the book does.
Yes.
As well. Hopefully.
Right. That's great. Because you are showing the two sides of the coin here. True. Like earlier, I mentioned that internet is good. Internet is for connecting people. And then here you are. Oh, it's actually disconnecting a lot of people. It divides us. So you're doing a great point, because you're actually, you know, highlighting both the good and the bad. And I think the internet is, at this point, it's an empty pipe. It depends on the, persons who are using it. Yeah. So, which is really awesome. And, oh, it's good to know that you are from Baguio. I haven't asked where you're from. So that's really good to know. I'm also, I'm actually from Capiz. It's in the Visayas region. So nice. We're far more away.
I can see. Whoa, I thought you were in Metro Manila. But, I've actually lived in Visayan speaking places. I have lived in Baguio, Los Baños, Davao, and Cotabato, in the Cotabato area. So I got to learn the languages. I can speak Visayan fluently, and Ilocano as well. We have neighbors in Cotabato who were speaking Ilonggo. And some who were actually speaking in the local language. Yeah. I guess that was Maguindanaon. So you get to actually understand and learn who these people are.
Fantastic. Oh, that's good to know. Okay, here's an interesting part. Rate your happiness levels from 1 to 10. How would you rate yourself?
Right now, I guess, probably between 7 to 8. I'm gonna say right now, during the Christmas time period, I'm kind of living alone. I have two brothers, two younger brothers. They are both in Los Baños, Laguna. My mom passed away in 2015 due to complications complications from breast cancer. My dad is living in Davao City. And, you know, because of this pandemic, you know, it would have been a 10 if not for this pandemic. Because if not for this pandemic, I would be able to go spend the holidays in Davao City. We've been doing it for the past 2 years. We spent our holidays in Davao City with my dad. But we can't, because of the pandemic. And if you are actually going to travel, you have to do a lot of COVID-19 testing. You have to be negative in that. You need to prove your residency. I'm not technically a resident of Davao City, since I live in Baguio. So you have to do that. A lot of all those things.
You have to be in quarantine. Yeah.
Kind of hurts, actually.
Yeah. So, yeah, it could have been a 10, but it's 7 or 8, somewhere around there. Or let's just say 7.5. Great. Now, do you have any more pieces of advice, like to people who want to pursue copywriting or any freelancing work, or any advice to people out there who might be looking out for passions and want to do career development, or want to pursue their respective careers. Do you have any more pieces of advice? I think you already mentioned a lot, you know, from the story earlier. But
I mean, I gotta say this as, you know, a sort of a final advice. It's like, again, I would have to re-echo what John Pagulayan said to me on that late 2018 hour-long session call. You have to find clarity. You have to choose clarity over certainty. I mean, you have to be clear on your purpose. You have to be clear on the direction that you're going to head, that you're headed. And you have to be clear on the actions that you're going to take. And one of the things that I learned from the Freelance Movement Tribe is that you have to take action. You have to focus. You would need to get feedback for the actions that you take. You need to create routines that will help you become better, because processes are actually what will help people win. Ironically, it isn't objectives, it's processes. So you need to create routine. And you need to have the grit to accomplish what you must. And you have to repeat that as a whole process to do what you can. But again, you start with clarity. Be clear on your purpose. Be clear on the direction that you're going to have to take. And be clear on the actions that you have to make to achieve whatever goal or objective that you have. So, yeah, if there is one thing that my listeners, your listeners, should take from this conversation that we're having, is that clarity.
Clarity. Mm-hmm. It sets you for everything. When you have clear vision, you have clear goals.
True.
You're like, everything is set. Just go ahead and do it.
Precisely, precisely.
Right. So that's a good piece of advice. I really love that. And lastly, where should we follow you on social media?
Well, you know, I have... right now, since I'm focused on the writing, I don't get online much. But you can follow me on Facebook and LinkedIn, because that is those are the most important platforms for me right now.
And LinkedIn, is your user in LinkedIn?
Yeah, I am part of that. Boaz Maldez, actually. Boaz, that's my first name. And Maldez, Moldez.
Okay.
So that is where I get into LinkedIn.
All right. For all my listeners, please give Mr. Bo a follow on LinkedIn at Boaz Maldez. All right. There we go. Okay, thank you for being on, Mr. Bo. I really appreciate your time, and I hope to see you in person.
Likewise. Thank you so much, Kim.
Great. Okay. Take care and have a nice day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.